And welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean.
Comics! I'm trying this.
Oh, you're trying? Yeah, I'm doing a cold brew.
No, that's not bad.
See, this is actually
cold brew coffee from Trader Joe's.
Coconut cold brew from Trader Joe's, and I've been using
concentrate, and then you just add milk or whatever.
Right, and this is what I've been doing. I've been adding this, mostly adding the sweetened like coconut milk, not coconut milk,
almond milk. Yeah,
which is awesome, you know, for a dairy substitute, but it's way too sweet.
Yeah.
So I actually bought some unsweetened stuff. So I had a little bit of sweetened stuff and then some sweet unsweetened stuff, and I put it all together.
Oh,
in
okay.
Here. So it's kind of, yeah, it's pretty easy going.
It's not bad.
And I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. All right.
So I'm actually, I feel like I did a good job.
I'm very proud.
So, yeah, so comics and
video games.
Video games. Yes, as promised last week, I mentioned we're going to talk about some of my video game adventures as of late, playing my games on my emulator.
Yeah.
My varied emulators that I've downloaded. Mm-hmm. And I've been having a lot of fun. I've been playing a lot of shooters, a lot of platformers, and it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm discovering a lot of games that I do not like.
Yes.
A lot of games that I do like.
I'm glad you're doing it this way, because it would cost you a lot of money if you were just buying a whole shit ton of games that you thought you might like.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I mean, there's ways to do it without buying the games, too.
Sure.
But there's also, I think, just kind of initially, you know, and emulators have been around for forever.
Mm-hmm.
But initially, you know, you walk around, like you go to, like, I'll go to like a video game, whatever place, and they're selling like old games and stuff like that. I'm like, oh man, I wish I could play that. I wish I could play this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, and there's still some stuff that I don't know if it's, because the older games,
mm-hmm,
are very small files. Like they're not, like a lot of,
right,
them are just barely a meg.
Right.
But a lot of, you know, like if you can emulate like N64 games and all this other stuff, but those are much bigger files,
mm-hmm,
you know, and it's a lot of, it's a lot of space, and
right,
it's a lot of work to get that done. So I'm not really looking to do that quite yet.
Right.
And, but right now I'm just playing a lot of stuff that, preferably I like some Nintendo.
Yeah.
And Sega Master System. I've always had a spot for that because, growing up, my neighbor behind us,
mm-hmm,
Kevin, he had a Sega Master System.
Mm-hmm.
And he had Double Dragon, and he had the wrestling game, pro wrestling,
mm-hmm,
and it just brings back a lot of memories of like, oh hey, I wish I had that, and I never really, because I was a Nintendo kid,
right?
So I played a lot, you know. So I got a chance to kind of, well, and now I have a chance to kind of enjoy best of both worlds,
right?
So you know, I'm doing that, and I'm doing Super Nintendo. I've got a lot of Sega Genesis, because I did have a Sega Genesis. Messing with TurboGrafx-16, which is a lot of fun, because, mm-hmm, that's another system that, you know, was, you know, I was not old enough to be like, Mom, buy me a TurboGrafx. They're like, we don't know what that is.
Right.
This is a Nintendo. Everybody else has Nintendo, and, you know, this person at work had a game that I can let you borrow.
Right.
So you get a Nintendo, because your sister's not going to like a Nintendo. A lot of choices that I bought, you know, a lot of games that were purchased for me when I was younger, as a kid, you know, as a Nintendo kid, were purchased based on whether or not my sister would like it.
Well, you know, fair enough. Your parents wanted to make sure all of you got a chance to play.
True, but my sister never played. My sister maybe played Mario like once. That's it.
Yeah.
Like once or twice.
This wasn't her thing.
So my dad, you know, I've had a lot of, you know.
My sister and I had to argue with our parents to try to get us a Nintendo. They refused to buy us one.
Right.
Mostly my mother. So Kathy and I, that's my sister, and I saved up a whole bunch of money one Christmas, and we went and we bought ourselves our very own Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
That's how long it took us to save up money to get a Nintendo.
Yeah, yeah.
But we did it, and we were so excited.
So yeah,
all sorts of shit for it.
Yeah, no, and that's a good, you know, it's a fun system. I didn't I went from Nintendo to Genesis to N64 to PlayStation 2.
Yeah,
that's basically how
we did Super Nintendo to PlayStation 2. I think
probably PlayStation 2.
I'm trying to remember, I think it was a 2.
Yeah, I never.
It was
N64, and then I kind of just stepped out. You know, my brother was a game, much more of a gamer, so he would have Like he had the GameCube.
Right.
Which I didn't like the GameCube. That controller was like, weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, then I moved over to, I've just been PlayStation pretty much straight through.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and I like, I don't know. I prefer it over Xbox.
Yeah.
I feel like people like Xbox, but I like PlayStation better. I don't know why, but nonetheless, so I've been playing a lot of games, and I've been playing a lot of comic book related games.
Yes.
Because a lot of those were games too that I didn't always buy. Because, again, does your sister like this game, you know?
Yeah.
And so I got a chance to play, let's see, so like NES, I've been playing the Wolverine game, the X-Men game, which are both awful.
Yeah.
Like, they're hard. Like, they're needlessly hard.
Right.
And, like, you're just flopping around, and you don't know what, nothing looks like anything. And I'm very glad that I didn't buy those games when I was younger.
Yeah.
Because I would have been very upset.
Yeah.
So I messed around with that, you know, and there's just a few others that I'm going to get to. You know, then I've been playing, let's see, Maximum Carnage was a favorite of mine. Mm-hmm. That was a Spider-Man game for like Sega that I had, which actually I got a limited edition version. It was a red cartridge.
Oh, so not, fancy. Not the
typical black cartridge. I got a red cartridge.
Fancy.
It was very fancy. And so I played that and I enjoyed that game. But what else? Captain America.
Mm.
Captain America and the Avengers, great arcade game.
Yeah.
Does not hold up today.
Probably not.
Because I'm playing on a PlayStation controller trying to play a Sega game. Mm-hmm. So like the buttons, I mean, they're there and everything, but sometimes it just doesn't feel like, I'd much rather be using the stick to move around because I've been used to doing that lately.
Right.
For the wrestling games. And I feel like that makes more sense, but now I'm using the D-pad, which you probably should. Mm-hmm. And I'm playing and I'm getting my ass kicked playing this Marvel game and, you know, this Spider-Man or this Avengers game and, you know, it's a bummer because I don't want to lose. I want to do good.
But you got to play it until you were good.
But I was good.
You know, I used to be awesome at Mario. I suck at it now.
That's true.
Which is really disappointing. Like, I used to be able to play Mario on, like, one life. Like, Super Mario 3, man. I was so good at it. I'd be able to do it on one fucking life. Me and my sister would tag team. So I'd be Mario. Oh, no. I was always Luigi. She'd be Mario. I was Luigi. And we would tag team. It was just one life. And we'd be like, we get this, then we warp. Then we go here, then we warp. And then we get all the way to 8, and then we would die. Because 8 sucks. But I used to be able to, like, run through it. And I used to actually, if we didn't warp, I would just go world by world.
Yeah.
And I was able to fucking do it without, like, a problem. Like, one, and I'd have all these lives. And no. Now I try to do it. I haven't done it in so long. I die constantly.
Because we had the NES Classic, and that.
How many times did I die in Big World? I was so fucking mad.
We were getting turfed.
I was like, dude, I used to be able to run through this whole thing in one life, like from world one to like world six without dying. Are you kidding me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's
so
a bummer.
So
I kind of felt disappointed. You know, it's like, oh, I can't win this game. And then I played a bunch of wrestling games.
Yeah.
And I talked about this on I Could Talk Kayfabe with Joe. And those do not hold up in a lot of respects. I haven't played through all of them yet, but there's a bunch of those, like WrestleMania Challenge and the Superstars for the Steel Cage Challenge and WWF Superstars for Game Boy, that they're just hard.
Yeah.
Hard games. I don't like it. But for the sake of this show, I actually did request that you played some games.
Yes.
And I wanted you to, you know, maybe we could just talk about them. Because I can keep talking about them forever. Like,
I know you can.
You know, like, also I want to point out the Incredible Hulk game sucks ass.
Mm.
Well, it's something we'll talk about in a second here. The Incredible Hulk should not be harmed by goons.
Right.
And fucking robots shooting at him.
Yes.
And it should not take him more than a couple hits for him to, you know, I mean, it shouldn't be where he gets shot a bunch and then he just turns back at the banner and then you immediately die.
Right.
Because that's what happens in that game.
That's bullshit. He should just get angrier.
He should just get angry and just smash everything. It should be like the Lego game. Yeah. Like, it should have been always
fucking Hulk, man.
Because he's a fucking Hulk. And that's how it is. That's just how it is. So what I had Jen do is I had her play Death and Return of Superman for Sega Genesis.
Which I didn't even know was a game.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. It's funny because we read through all these 90s comics.
Yes.
And they have ads for these games all over the fucking books.
Yes, yes, they do. And I don't think I've ever seen an ad for
them. I definitely know there's, I've seen the ads for the Death and Return of Superman.
Oh, okay, maybe I just wasn't paying attention, which is probable.
Yeah. I've also, by the way, I don't want to point out, I played the X-Men 2 Clone Wars, which was, I want to point out a few other ones. X-Men 2 Clone Wars, which isn't bad. However, it's one of those games where it just starts. And you're just like, oh, fuck, I'm playing. And then it's like, you know,
you're like, dudes, you can't figure out what you're doing.
I didn't know what I was doing, you know, and I was getting beat up. I was like, I'm Beast. I'm like, oh, no, Beast is getting killed. This sucks.
Yeah.
You know, and he's trying to punch a ninja and the ninja is not dying. And it's, you know, I'm like, this sucks. Why can't I just, I'm done the Beast. I'm Wolverine. Like, I shouldn't die because of this. This is not canon.
No.
And then I also tried playing The Flash for Sega Master System.
Okay.
Which is one that not many people knew about. And I think maybe it was only European. I don't know. But that was hard because you're the Flash and you're spinning around and then you're landing in fire and then you're, I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to do. It just, you know, I'm just, sometimes I'm stopping to punch a guy. You know, I should just literally just run to the end and be like, done. You know, that should be everything, you know? Yeah. So what we did is I had you play Death and Return of Superman.
Yes, you did.
And what'd you think?
That game is dumb. First off, at least it didn't seem to have much of a point. It was like kind of a side scroller.
Well, this is it's 100% a side scroller.
Side scroller. So you're Superman. Beat 'em up. You can kind of fly, maybe, but I couldn't really figure out how to do that. And you walk and goons, and you punch, and you walk and goons, and they're like the same three goons.
Literally what?
The same three kind of goons, and apparently they have names, and you're like, I don't care. But so you're like, punch. But here's where I got angry, right? One of these goons has a machine gun.
Yes.
And he comes out, and the bullets hurt Superman. And that is nonsense.
Right.
Because he's Superman. Bullets literally, that's his whole thing. Bullets bounce off of him. And you're getting hurt by this little, this nothing character that's just shooting you. And I'm just like, what the?
Superman dies from bullets in
that
this
is,
game.
That made me angry.
He dies from rocks falling on him.
Yes.
He can die from being punched.
Yes.
He can die from being electrocuted.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to pick stuff up and throw it at dudes, but
that's kind of fun.
That's okay. And then you can't, there's like electric things where it's hard to jump over them.
I don't know how that's a thing.
And your eye lasers are bullshit. They don't do anything.
Your eye lasers are literally just these little blips that come out and you can shoot people with them, but they don't die immediately from them. Like they don't get
they
like.
They should because they're eye lasers.
Because they're fucking eye lasers. And literally it should be every time you're using eye lasers in like the Lego games. Because at least when you shoot somebody with the eye lasers in the Lego games, you heat them up for a minute and then they explode.
Right, as they should.
You know, whereas in this game, you just go bleep and then they go, oh, okay, I'm still coming at you.
But it's like, they're just nameless. Well, I mean, they have names, but they're just goons.
Yeah.
They're not, oh my God, it's Doomsday. Oh my God, it's, you know, Lobo. Oh my God. You know, it's not like,
it's oh my God,
John.
It's
not like big, heavy hitters who could take down Superman. It's
just games. Schmucks.
It's just
one's
schmucks.
One's name Rambo.
Yeah.
But like spelled like a French way.
Yeah.
And it isn't
they're
that,
just schmucks. And they're like monstery schmucks.
Monstery schmucks.
And you're just like, what? And so you just like walk, go to the end of the level, get on an elevator, go down an elevator, dodge some rocks, and eventually I died. And that's what happened. And I was like, oh, this is boring.
And the premise of the game is like, it's supposed to Death and Return of Superman. So eventually you're going through, I think basically what happens is, and I don't know if this is actually in the comic book and maybe I missed it, but the game starts out where the power goes out in Metropolis, and then a bunch of Chud monsters come up.
Yes.
And they start wreaking havoc on the streets. And so basically Superman comes in. He just goes, aha.
You would think that if a game is called The Death and Return of Superman, you have to fulfill the promise of the title.
Yeah.
You must die.
Well, you probably do.
I mean, you have to get to the point where you literally die. And like, no matter what you do, you have to die at this point in the game because then there would be no return.
Well, I think what happens is you go through this level and you fight these chuds.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually you get to Doomsday and you have a fight with him.
And you die.
And then there's
no way to beat him.
You beat him, but then you die anyways, and it shows you shit from the comic book.
Oh, okay.
Right? And I figure that's what happens. And then you have a bunch of levels where you have, you know, Eradicator and Cyborg and Superboy, and you play as them.
And then you have to beat Doomsday again.
Or whatever, however the story progresses.
That's what I would assume would happen.
Yeah. I mean, just the fact that you get, you know, you could start the game out and be shot to death by some guy. By some chud with a gun.
Just like fucking sewer chud. And you're like, what? And so yeah, I mean, it was fine. It's a perfectly acceptable game. It's just not.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. It would have been a game that I would have liked to have played.
Sure.
If I was 15 and been like, I just like beat 'em ups, because that's what I do. I like beat 'em ups.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just the controller.
If you just want to punch some dudes, I think if you figure out, like, if I could figure out how exactly to fly.
Yeah.
And how exactly to do. There was a couple of cool moves where he would like fly up and then punch the ground and everybody would die. If I could figure out how to do that more often, I probably would like it a little bit more, which that just takes practice.
You could practice on it. That's something. Maybe,
it's fine.
And maybe at some point I'll continue with that, but it's fine.
It's not terrible.
Yeah, no, it's just a beat 'em up. Like, it's a very uninspired game.
Yeah, it's whatever. You know, it's of its time.
Well,
it's
definitely of its time, which I was saying, I like those kind of games. Yeah. Like, I like, you know, scrolling beat 'em ups. Like, I think Maximum Carnage is exactly like that.
Yeah,
I think it's very fun. Yeah. And I've always enjoyed playing that. So I might even have to go back to that and re-download it. But and then we also had you play Batman Forever.
Oh yes, we did.
Because you asked for this one specifically.
I did ask for this one.
You're like, ooh, can you play Batman Forever? And I was like,
why not?
Sure, I guess.
Is that a game that we can play? Because I don't. Maybe I might have played it once or twice when I was a kid.
I never played. That's the thing. I was not a Batman person. That reminds me. Okay, so I was going to point out, I did play another Batman game.
Yes.
Because there was the sequel to the Batman Sunsoft game for NES. There was Batman Return of the Joker.
Yeah.
That is actually, it's actually a much better game, but I could not figure it out the way I wanted to. Yeah. Like, I had some trouble with it. It looks good. And I think I played it on Genesis, and I was frustrated with it. Yeah. But so you played
Batman Forever.
Batman Forever.
And I know Batman Forever is a garbage movie. I still have a soft spot for it, because I think it came out when it came out, 94?
94, 95. So we were teenagers.
Exactly. That's a soft spot.
It was a great soundtrack.
Great sound. I had the soundtrack. I mean, when I was younger. So there's a little nostalgia there for me, even though I know it's a garbage movie.
Yes.
So I was like, let's play this. It sounds like fun. And it's, again, side-scroller, beat 'em up.
But the thing about this one is that it's digitized in such a way that it's like Mortal Kombat kind of. Well, I mean, to the character, it's like...
Some of the moves.
Maybe. So they get actors to portray the actual characters in the game, and they digitize them in such a way, and they have them, you know, film these moves, and they program them and stuff.
But I think this is also, and they did it in this game just like they did it in Superman, where it's like you have to go fight nobody's, right?
Well, the way that
you're going to go get like Two-Face's
broken out of Arkham, and
now there's inmates on the run. Okay, so, but these are just. They're nobodies. They're not characters. They're not whatever. But they all have fucking names that pop up. So it's like Mad Tony. And you're like, I don't care about who this guy is. I'm just going to punch him in the face.
Mad Sid. Mad Stan.
Mad Flamethrower or whatever. And you just
angry flamethrower. Yeah.
But it is kind of a pain in the ass to figure out how to jump down things. Like, we couldn't figure that out for a while.
I still can't figure it out. I looked at the control. I tried to look at the controls. I can't figure out, because there's like secret areas and stuff, and there's that you're supposed to find by throwing a bomb somewhere.
Yeah, I can't figure out how to throw a bomb.
How the fuck do you throw a bomb?
I can't even figure out how to throw my batarang.
I learned how to punch behind us.
Yes, and I figured out an uppercut.
And I think I know how to roll.
Yes, but it takes a while to like figure that stuff out. So
yeah.
I mean, it was fine. I'm sure if I was bored, I'm just like, I'd play it. I mean, but it's not anything spectacular. It's kind of stupid.
And for some reason,
whenever the dudes would kill me, because obviously I died a bunch, they'd be like, ha ha, and I was like, noise is that?
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Because for some reason, I think because you go through these levels and you fight these different kind of goons.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first one, you're fighting these Arkham goons, and like I thought it was Batman yelling.
Yeah, no, it's them.
But I think it's them because you kill them. And they go ah.
Yeah.
Right, and then you get to the next one, and then you start fighting these guys in like zoot suits.
Yeah, basically mobsters.
And then if they kill you, they go, "Hey, forget about it." Which I'm like, what?
Forget about your life.
Forget about it. Hey, forget about playing this game anymore. Hey, forget about it. Tell your mom you want a refund.
Yeah, pretty much.
If I ever told my mom I wanted a refund on a game that I picked out, she'd fucking beat me to death with that game. That's what would happen. She'd be like, fuck you, Batman Forever. Beat, beat.
Well, shit. Like,
and she would have been justified in doing so.
Yeah, well, I mean, because...
Robert Stack would have done an Unsolved Mysteries thing about it and been like, yeah, that served that bastard right.
But there's no Unsolved Mystery. There's no mystery.
Solved Mysteries by Robert Stack.
I mean, you know, back then, I mean, even now games are super expensive, but especially, like, we're talking in, like, 1990s dollars when you're, like, dropping $50 on a game.
Literally $50-$60 on a Super Nintendo game.
1990s dollars.
I purchased, one of the games I purchased new for NES was the G.I. Joe game.
Mm-hmm.
The first G.I. Joe game, which is excellent, by the way. That's one of the few games that I've gone back to because it's excellent. And I remember it being, like, $40-$50
yeah.
for a Nintendo game in 1991.
Yeah.
Brand new game.
They were fucking expensive.
That was a lot of money. I think that bankrupted my parents. You know, my parents did what they could to provide this stuff for us, and I'm like, G.I. Joe, I love
it. Let's drop
and they know, and they knew we loved G.I. Joe, and that they were like, okay, Sean doesn't have any of his own money because he's lazy at 11 years old. He should have
11.
I could have had a paper route. I could have been more enterprising.
Could you have had a paper
route? I think so. Well,
was that a thing you could have had?
Well, my buddy Steve had a paper route.
Okay, well then you could have.
I knew all the paper kids.
Oh,
all
right.
And then I should have been more enterprising.
Would have been a paper route that your parents would have had to help you with?
Oh no, we did have a paper. We did do paper for a couple years. My brothers did do the paper.
Yeah. Did your dad have to drive them?
Did they? I don't know. I can't remember how that went.
Because I know that's how most of the paper routes went in my area. It was like...
Maybe.
Because it was just like sprawling.
Or we had wagons. They had wagons too that you can carry. And if it was up and down the street, if it was doable, that's what you would do.
Yeah.
So...
You probably could have like done a wagon or like a bike in my neighborhood. But a lot of times the paper routes, at least for the town paper, was like the entire subdivision that I grew up in, which was like... huge.
Yeah, no.
So it was literally like somebody in a car.
No, we had ours were, you know, only within like a certain couple streets within each other. You know, I think that's how it was. Brian and Mark had them.
Yeah.
I never did it. I should have been like them.
Yeah.
Could have made some extra cash and paid for my own G.I. Joe game. But no, I made my poor parents pay for the G.I. Joe game, which I do love.
At least you like it.
At least I loved it. But I mean, you know, the games that my dad did buy were the cheaper ones.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had Mario Is Missing because I think my dad got it for $5.
Well, that's the thing. You could buy it for five.
Have you ever played Mario Is Missing? That is garbage.
Well, my dad bought it. I remember
$5.
I told the story. I was telling you a story the other day about how when my dad bought the Three Stooges NES game.
Oh, yeah.
We were just like, we went to the toy store. You know, they had a sale, $19.99 games. Yep. I was like, oh, that's a deal.
Yeah. Super deal.
Super deal.
And I was like, whatever this is.
I was like, I want, oh, look at this game. Look at that game. Oh, I want maybe one of those games. Those are good games I might like.
Yeah. Cause
I've read my Nintendo Powers and I've read my Game Pro magazines and whatever. I just would read magazines and get ideas in my head.
Yes.
You know, and then I'd be like, I think this would be a great game. And then, you know, my mom would be like, and my dad was just like, give me Three Stooges.
Yeah.
Without any regard to what I wanted.
Yeah.
And any regard to what my brothers, they didn't know. They were dumb. they didn't know back in 1991 or 1990 what games were good.
Yeah.
Maybe they did. I don't know. But my sister, for fuck, didn't give a shit. She was too worried about being an older woman.
Sure.
Going into high school.
Yeah.
She wasn't worried about fucking NES games and shit.
No, we always had like... We had the Mario 1 through 3, Super Mario World. Then we had like the Lion King game, Donkey Kong 1, 2, and I think 3.
Mm-hmm. I never liked Donkey Kong.
Oh, Donkey Kong Country is amazing.
I know it's amazing. I just never
liked it. It's such a great game. Anyway, so we had those, but my sister also had, because she plays hockey, so she would always get like NHL whatever, and she'd play...
Yeah.
Those.
NHL 95 is awesome.
I think that's the one that she loved. There was Sega, one that she was like dedicated. Like she
either 94 or 95 I had. I had that for Sega.
Yeah, and I sucked at it.
She was
very good at it. I sucked so bad.
I liked it a lot. And there's actually that scene in Swingers when they're playing that game. And I remember I commented on that once. But yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
That's a fun game.
Yeah, it's good times.
Yeah. But.
So yeah, games.
Games, you know, and you played some shitty games.
I did.
And I'll continue to play some shitty games. I'm actually, now what I'm kind of doing, because I haven't really read a lot of comics, is I'm taking pictures of the games I'm playing and I'm screenshotting those. Yes. And that was kind of like, I went from like retro comics to like retro games. Well, I mean, I'm still doing the comics.
I was going to say, we'll go back to comics eventually. It's just we got to get through all the stacks.
Yeah. I got to get through. It's intimidating.
I know.
And plus, you know, my podcast career is popping.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I've been so goddamn busy lately with the book and the work and the
I don't get to read like I used to.
I know.
We saw a picture from one of our favorite places, Pulp Fiction in Culver City. God, and they had like
so many boxes.
They got boxes. Oh. It's sagging the table.
They don't have just short boxes.
They got the long boxes.
And they're all on a table and that fucking thing is just bending. And you're like, yes.
It's beautiful.
It's so, and there's like stacks of boxes underneath it.
Yeah.
And there's tables like as far as the eye can see. And I was like, must.
Because that that's like one quarter of their place. It's
yes,
like
just it's a really big
nothing
store.
But like, and they were like, oh, we went through our like our back issues and we kind of like fixed
some
stuff.
I so want to go.
Do they even have back issues there? I don't think they do.
You know, they might have them in like one of their other locations.
Well, they definitely have it probably at the other location. I feel like we've been there. I'm trying to think because I don't remember actually seeing, because I know they have like the books, the trades. Like their big thing is the trades because they do the discount trades, which is awesome.
Yeah. Big thing is the trades. I don't know. Maybe they have like a storage area. I feel like they buy a lot of stuff from other places.
They definitely do. Well, they'll be buying stuff from me once I clean that shit out eventually in 2020.
I really want to go. But I also don't want to go.
No, we can't go. Besides, I'm playing. I'm too busy playing Wrath of Black Manta, trying to figure out how to beat that.
There's so many boxes.
I know it's pretty. It's a beautiful picture.
It is.
It's like porn. So let's take our break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about our book for this week.
Hello, podcast listener, Russell Bragg speaking. First off, I wanted to apologize for being off the air for so long. I never wanted it to be for that long. Life just got in the way. Second, this particular promo is a Plan B promo. Time constraints restricted two friends of mine and me getting together and doing the promo I actually wanted to do, but it'll be coming soon. And third, the time has finally come. What time, you may ask?
It's time! It's time! It's Vader time!
No former WCW heavyweight champion and WWF superstar, Big Van Vader. It's not Vader time. No, it's not even Howdy Doody time. It's time for the DC Comics Within Show to come back. I have designated Sunday, September 3rd, as the return date for the podcast. I will give you more details in the forthcoming promo, but for now, I just wanted to get the word out there that the show is coming back. I've been working hard on it, and I hope you enjoy it. So join me. Oh, I gotta take this. Hello, fellows.
Hey, Russell.
Russell?
Yeah, but could you hold on just a second? So, goodbye, podcast listener. Sorry about that, guys. I really wanted to thank you guys for helping me out with this. Now, if you have your scripts ready, let's see if we can make my last DC Comics Presents Show promo my best promo.
To be continued. Don't forget, Sunday, September 3rd, the return of the DC Comics Presents Show. You can find the DC Comics Presents Show on Apple Podcasts, formerly iTunes, or Stitcher.
All right, we're back here in Worst Collection Ever with our book for this week. It is an old standby.
We haven't done one of these.
We haven't done one in a minute, but you know we're getting through these. Superman's Girlfriend, Lois Lane, number 132 from July 1973.
Woohoo!
Because we only mess with the older issues. Oh, and those are
I don't remember when this actually got canceled.
Oh, it got canceled. I feel like we actually have one of the issues that's like close to the cancellation. Like it's not. I think it's like almost like mid, like 75-ish, I think.
Yeah, because I don't think.
I know somebody will correct us,
yeah,
but.
I didn't think it went into the 80s, but.
No, it didn't get to the, it didn't get past the, it definitely.
Which is a shame, because let me tell you that I love these. I love these books. I love the Lois Lanes. I love the Jimmy Olsons.
Yes.
I love the romance comics. Give them to me.
Yeah, I don't think this series definitely didn't get anywhere near the DC implosion era.
No.
Because it wouldn't have lasted past that.
No, absolutely
it definitely was
not.
Canceled before that.
It's great.
But Superman's Girlfriend, Lois Lane, from July 1973, number 132.
Yep.
On the cover, we have Superman.
Looking sad.
Looking sad. And he's saying, Lois doesn't know it, but I picked her husband.
Yep.
And in the background, you see Lois having a locking lips with a blonde dude in a nice brown suit.
Yeah, and they're in a spotlight.
Superman's having a sad. And then it says, Our Lois Lane and Superman finished? Read the second Superman.
Dumb.
Also featuring Zatanna in The Boy Who Never Smiled.
Oh, that's a special backup.
And introducing for the first time... introducing Melba.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Get ready for Melba. Melba Toast. That's her name. And I also like, I always like this in the corner.
With the little tiny Supermans.
The little tiny, because Marvel always did this too. But I feel like DC definitely did it at first. And usually only for the Superman and Batman books, I would notice, where they have the little like smaller version of them. And it's, it's like Superman
in the corner.
Superman and Lois Lane walking hand in hand. So it's pretty nice.
So we start with Lois in a boat. And she's talking to Superman. She says, oh, what a dreamy way to spend a day. And then the next panel is zoom out where Superman and Lois are in a canoe, but he's paddling them through the air. I'm not sure how he's doing this.
He's on the Gulf Stream.
Oh, but how does that work?
It doesn't.
Okay.
It
just
doesn't.
Because he could fly doesn't mean he could fly other, like, he has to be holding on. So is he, like, clenching?
Well, his legs might be, like, tagged into, like.
And he's just flying?
He's just flying this boat while it's attached to his body, and, and she's just like,
Do you think he, like, belted himself, like a seatbelt? He just, like, seatbelted himself in so he could just.
I mean, that would make sense. I mean, if he can fly, if he can steer something, I guess that's how he's doing
and
it.
And he's got a paddle.
He's got a paddle like a friggin' dork.
No reason for him to have a goddamn paddle, but he's paddling and Lois is like, oh, this is great. And he's like, oh yeah, we're canoeing through the Gulf Stream. And they're over the ocean, and all of a sudden a missile is launched.
Yes.
And it comes up from the water and it chops their boat in half.
Well, it doesn't chop. No, it doesn't chop. Superman chops the boat in half.
Oh, Superman did?
Because he goes, she's like, Superman, you're tearing us apart. Like she's, like Tommy Wiseau. She's like, you're tearing us apart, Superman.
Is that her audition tape?
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's, but that's right. I just noticed here, he's chopping. He goes, chop, chop. And she's like, what's wrong? And he's like, oh, sorry, Lois. This was the only way for me to save you because.
Here comes a missile.
There's a missile. And somehow, instead of just falling to their deaths immediately, some reason they're still up. Like, they're both still up here.
It's like when the coyote runs off a cliff.
Yeah.
And those Roadrunner cartoons before he looks down. It's basically what's happening.
And so, but the missile, like, somehow they're able to talk while this missile is flying past them. And also I want to point out, this missile, if it's a real missile, it has, like, a jet-fueled back end, or it has, like, a fiery back end.
Yeah.
Which would probably burn her.
Sure. She should probably be in a lot more trouble than she is.
Oh, she should be dead. This should be a tragedy.
Yeah, and so Superman puts her on the ground, and he's like, I'm going to go get that missile, or that sub. So he does, and he's like, oh, they were purposely trying to kill us or something.
Yeah. He goes, I'll tweak their tails. Yeah, okay. you tweak those.
You do that, Superman.
Yeah, whatever you mean.
Yeah, and so he like.
Apparently, it's some sort of enemies. Now, here's the thing, though. I want to point this out.
Mm.
So, if this is any sort of defense,
what, Superman?
Or like an army defense?
Oh, right.
Because they're like, hey,
this is just a missile test.
Or not even a missile test. Like, hey, there's somebody flying over, like, space or something.
Oh, yeah. This is, they're literally right by the shore.
Yeah.
Like, so it's not like they're in, like, international waters. They're over someone's airspace. So it could just be, I don't know, maybe it's Mexico or...
France,
sure. They're near France. And France is like, oh, what the fuck? Shoot it down.
Yeah, and then they do, and then Superman freaking...
And then Superman just breaks some fucking military equipment.
And Superman's like, I'm an asshole.
And instead of being like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that, he's like, obviously...
Obviously, it's somebody that hates me.
It's somebody who's trying to kill me and Lois, wreck our happiness,
mm-hmm.
So I can't be with Lois anymore.
What a sausage. I feel like he thinks this every minute.
He does, all the time.
I think that's the whole premise of this book.
All of these superheroes think this. I don't know... Hopefully this is changing, but this whole idea of like, I can never be in a relationship because I'm putting somebody that I love in danger. But of course I won't tell them who I am or give them the ability to make a decision on their own. I'm just going to take that choice away from them.
Yeah.
Because it's better for them. It's like super macho bullshit that goes through all of these superhero comics. I mean, you see it all the time.
Yeah.
So that's what Superman is doing. He is machoing it up.
Uh-huh.
But he does that by going to the Fortress of Solitude and going to the computer that for some reason has a database of every eligible bachelor in Metropolis.
He's doing a lot of sobbing.
I would really like to know why Superman has a database of every eligible man in Metropolis.
Well, he reasons that since everybody wants to kill him and he's going to put her in harm's way, he says, Lois has wasted enough years pining for me, away from me. She's young, beautiful, terrific cast for any eligible bachelor. I know now what I have to do. Choke!
Yes.
Actually, for a second here, I thought he was wearing a sombrero.
Oh, yeah, that's the light. Kind of looks like a hat.
The light looks like a hat. And I was like, he's sombrero. Oh, wait a minute. But he says, ultra-advanced supercomputer has...
He contains
punch card profiles on every eligible man in Metropolis.
He created Grindr.
He created something.
He created something because it's just all dudes. He doesn't mention that he has all the profiles of women. It's just dudes.
Well, it would be much more creepy. He's like, I got all these profiles of women. I've got binders of women.
Binders of women and Grindr.
He's got physical binders of women.
I just want to know why Superman's like, I got to know who's single. I got to scope all these men.
How did he find this out? I would like to have known.
Who created these punch cards?
He's got all scientist friends. He's like, but
seriously, are you going to put like Star Labs on here, make me some punch cards? I mean, that's,
there's
I
somebody
that's
there
how
that
computers used to work.
Somebody probably did it for him. Somebody was probably like, oh, yeah, I'll do this for you, man. Yeah, don't worry. I'll get you. You know, just make sure, you know. Maybe you could punch this person for me. I don't like.
Wouldn't you just be like, why do you want profiles?
Nobody asks questions.
Are you looking for a boyfriend or?
Nobody asks. Nobody. They don't ask any questions.
I'm sure somebody had a cousin.
Nobody asks because they fear him.
Oh.
So they're just gonna, if he comes up and he's like, hey, can you do me a big favor? Can you put all these eligible men in this computer and make punch cards because computers?
Yeah.
And they're like, sure.
Yeah.
Because if they ask, they are worried that he might, because he's an alien, they don't know.
Sure, I guess.
There's a logical reason.
I mean, you would think, like, my thinking would be, Superman is looking for a boyfriend.
Right. And
lucky I have a friend who would be great for him?
Yeah, I know. But there's people, and there are people.
I'll set them up to go for coffee.
Well, he might, but that would
but
be
But if it goes wrong, then it's a problem. Because then he might zap me with his eye lasers.
Yeah, because Superman might be like, Superman is
He might not like Fred.
Yeah, he might be like, hey, man, I got your punch cards. Also, like, I got, like, a dude friend. And he's like, I'm not gay, zap.
You know, not only that, but what if they go on a date and it doesn't work out?
Mm.
And then he blames you.
Mm. Yeah, what if Fred is a picker?
You know, what if Fred's just not his type or whatever? He's just like, how dare you think I would be into Fred? And then he zaps you with his eye laser.
What if Fred cuts his hamburger with a fork?
Right? Or well, he'd probably be into that. He'd be like, Bruce, I miss you.
Oh, he'd be like, choke, Bruce.
My real boyfriend.
I know, he'd be really, he's like, he watches.
Maybe that's why he has that thing. He's like, I'll show Bruce. I'll find another boy.
boys.
So he does that.
He does this, and he uses Grindr to find this woman. Man.
Yeah. So he's trying to find a straight guy on Grindr. Which, good luck.
So now we get like the Lois Lane part of the story where she's
in Perry's office.
She's in Perry's office with a guy that I could best describe as Angus Scrim, just like Colonel Sanders.
Sure.
Angus, the tall man from Phantasm, dressed like Colonel Sanders.
Yes.
And his name is Mr. Oleroyd.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
He has a camera.
And the premise is he's going to donate $25,000 to charity. $2,500. What? What did I say?
$25,000.
Yes. That's a lot of money. He's going to donate $25,000 to charity as long as Lois tests a camera.
And she has to figure out its secret.
And has to figure out a secret.
Because it does something. And his name's Oleroyd, and he has a camera. Ha ha. Ha ha.
Whatever.
Whatever. So she's like, oh, I can do it. That sounds fun.
He's like, I'm getting some rugged assignments. I'm going to drop this thing down the stairs.
Yeah, sounds like a good time.
So Superman plays a Grindr.
So he's playing along, and he gets a printout of a man named Phil.
Carnes.
Phil Carnes, who is a biochemist, and he's a blonde man, and he is apparently perfect for Lois.
I want to point out that this punch card
Yeah.
It was printed on a color printer. Superman has a color printer.
He does, because and also...
And a perfect color print with perfect photographic images of men that somehow...
He was much better. He had, like, he was way ahead of his time. Like, Dot Matrix would never have
brought this. Yeah, man. No, Superman. Superman had the tech.
He did. And so he's like, this is the guy. This is, and he's choke, of course.
Because, he's if she beats him, she's gonna love him.
Because they're perfect for each other, whatever. So then we're in this guy's laboratory, and he's... I don't know. He's doing something.
He's doing science and basically...
Some sort of like X factor for adrenaline or whatever.
He's isolated the X factor for adrenaline and he figures that if he can create a serum for this, that it would allow...
Normal people to have super strength.
Have super strength for whatever.
Right. So he's sitting there and all of a sudden the window in his office like opens and it like blows shit around. He's like, oh no, what's going on? And he gets sucked out of the window by a tornado, which of course is... The one that Superman is creating?
Sadly, it's not Red Tornado.
No.
I wish Red Tornado would have did it.
I think he could have called him.
He could be, yeah, it would have been like, hey, Red Tornado.
I need a tornado.
I need a tornado. I need an inconspicuous way to grab a man out of a window without him realizing it's me.
What's the easiest way to abduct a man? Oh, tornado power, of course.
And I also would have liked to watch him try to explain this to Red Tornado and Red Tornado not get it. And then have him rip Red Tornado's head off because he's a robot and Superman, because Superman hates robots.
He is a robo-racist.
Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is.
So Superman creates this tornado. It actually just looks like he's punching the air.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's pretty much punching. He's just running around with his fist in the air.
So he like sucks this dude out and this guy's like, oh no, I'm going to die. And it's terrible. And so Lois just, I guess he just like flies this guy around until Lois comes out of the building.
Yeah.
And as soon as she does, he drops him. Superman drops this guy on top of a cab. And Lois is like, oh, what a perfect excuse to try out my camera as this man gets plopped onto a cab. So she takes a picture and he's just like, oh, no, and she's like, oh, I'm a part-time nurse. Let me help you.
Of course she's a part-time nurse.
So that's how they meet. Superman drops a man on her, basically.
It's raining men.
Pretty much. I think that actually that song was written after reading this comic
book. I bet the Weather Girls read this. The Weather
Girls, yes. I'm sure Martha Wash was like, yes, perfect. I have our number one.
Yeah.
I think, wasn't that before this? No, 70s.
No, it was after this.
After, yes.
But yeah, Raining Men came out probably, I think, in like late 70s. This is obviously before that. So.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's funny because he's running or he's flying away and he's like, oh, they're going to love each other. Choke. He's just crying.
Yeah, he's crying the whole time.
He's Dick Vermeeling it up.
Yeah, he's constantly. He's John Bonner. cry. So Lois is like, oh, hey, this Polaroid camera also prints pictures. How strange. And so she's like, look at this. Let's look at the picture of you landing on the car. And it's just a picture of Superman.
It's a very close-up picture of Superman. Like, she took a picture of a guy in a car, and it's not a picture of Superman lying on a car.
It's
a picture.
It's just his face.
It's just his face.
And he looks very serious, by the way. He's like, and she's like, well, that's weird. Superman's not here. I don't get it. And he's like, oh, well, can I buy you dinner?
Let's go have a date.
I almost died. I got sucked out a window by a tornado, but I'm not going to worry about that. Oh, let me buy you dinner.
And then they go on a bunch of very, very sanitized dates.
Yeah, very, you know, they go, there's no sex in here. I'm assuming they're banging after these dates.
Oh, you think he's,
73. The pill is a thing.
Oh, man.
Sexual revolution has happened.
Do you think it was because she's not getting it from Superman.
Right?
She's
a grown-ass woman. She has needs.
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully she's getting it filled. I mean, she's having a plaid sandwich. Guy's wearing a plaid pants. He's dressed he's eating a sandwich with her, you know?
She's wearing, like, the craziest of jumpsuits.
Yeah, she is.
Actually, it's kind of a gray jumpsuit, and I would totally wear it.
Yeah.
It's like this pink and black number, and you're like, oh, that's fun. So they're like going for a walk.
They're going for a walk, and there's these old biddies here, which, by the way, look at the gams on those biddies.
I know. Check out those gams.
Those are some, that's some Helen Mirren legs.
I was going to say, I think those women used to be dancers on Broadway. That's what that was. So they're like, oh, you know, it's great. And she's like, oh, he's so great at the same time.
And they're like, oh, Lois Lane, not with Superman. How weird.
Yeah. And he's like, what does he say here?
So basically,
he's like, oh, all my dates have been fun, but they're nothing compared to what Superman has given her. And since...
Because Superman is poochy in these books.
Pretty much. It's like all the characters need to be thinking about what Superman is doing.
Yeah.
Because Lois seems to be having a very good time. They seem to be enjoying it. It's not like she's saying like, oh my God, I hate all these dates. They're
boring. Having her protected sex.
Oh, maybe.
Or maybe she's having...
Condoms were also a thing back then.
Oh, I didn't know. I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure.
Condoms were invented a long time ago. Oh, they used to be like lambskin things you had to wash after you use. Yeah, gross, right?
Okay.
But yes, it was a thing.
Okay, well, yeah, she's young.
They're getting it.
She's getting it.
And again, this is also in the 70s when the pill was enough and people would just fuck and the worst thing that could happen to you is the clap. Like, AIDS wasn't a thing. No one was going to die.
No AIDS yet.
So, yeah, you could totally fuck people without
AIDS. Oh, you know what? That would suck if this ended with her getting AIDS.
It's too early. She's fine.
Yeah, no, I'm glad. You know, I'm glad she's they're wrapping it up after having the... after their
sandwich. There was no HIV or super gonorrhea. Which there are is now.
Yeah.
So, kids, wrap it up. If you're
thanks,
having
science.
Sex, please put on condoms.
Thanks, biology.
Please wear condoms.
Yes.
Anyway,
so he goes like, well, you know what? I could be awesome too. I figured it out. And he goes, what I'll do is I'll show.
I'm gonna like take that Factor X and I'm gonna do super things while driving along a train because I bet someone's gonna rob.
Well, he decides to take her to show her. He decides to drive up the coast of the fucking mountains of Metropolis to show her a train that's a treasury car. So she could take a picture of it with her awesome new camera.
Sure.
But just happens that there is a...
someone trying to rob it.
Somebody like a fucking...
helicopter trying to pull it off the track.
Tomahawk chopper is trying to rob this thing.
Yeah. And so he gets out and he has taken his Factor X and he picks up a boulder, much like Superman, and he throws it and he saves the car and he catches the car.
Throws it with pinpoint accuracy he throws the rock to sever the rope and then catches the train car.
Yeah.
And he's like, and she's like, what, how'd you do that? And he's like, because I took this drug.
I took my drug that I made. Isn't it great? And he's like, yeah, that's cool. She's like, oh my God, I took a picture of you while you were doing this. Here, let's look at it. And oh my God, it's Superman again.
And she's like, practically you're another Superman.
Yeah. And when we look at the picture, it is Superman.
It is Superman. And then basically he's thinking the whole time, he's like, oh man, well, this, it's great, but it sucks because I can only do this for 24 hours.
And if I exert myself again within that time period, I die.
Wait, yeah.
That's the whole idea. Yeah,
I thought it was he could keep exerting himself. Because, I mean, why would you do it just once?
No, it's Adrenaline X gives me 24 hours to make Lois fall in love with me. Didn't tell Lois the catch. That I must only overexert myself 24 hours. There's a word missing here.
No, I think he has...
No, there's a word missing in this thing.
Mm.
That I must only overexert myself 24 hours. If I attempt a superfeat after that time, the results will be fatal.
Right.
So he only has 24 hours to use this shit. And if he ever tries it again in his life, he'll die.
Right, but it's after the 24 hours.
Yes. Yeah, so he has 24 hours to... but if he ever does it again, dead.
Yeah.
Which that's kind of not really thinking ahead.
Yeah.
Because like, what's defined by overexerting? Like picking up a boulder? Okay.
Picking up a boulder, but, like, definitely.
Running really hard, like, so if you're on the treadmill and you're like
trying to open a can of pickles,
yeah,
a jar of pickles.
I mean, like, seriously, what if you're just like, oh, I didn't, I'm on a nice bike ride, you know, going on this nice bike ride. I didn't realize this hill was as steep.
This is a steep hill, dead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Does that count? Because you're like, oh, I got to really put myself into it to make myself get up this hill. Is that overexertion?
Yeah.
20 years later, you keel over.
Yeah. Yeah,
so where's the line, I guess, is my question.
There is no line because this is stupid. So Superman, or I like how they say Clark. That night, reporter Clark, parentheses Superman Kent, because in case you forgot, he's reading the newspaper, which Lois printed a story that Lois Lane discovers second Superman. And now he is crying again.
Oh, I'm so sad.
And he's like, she's better off.
Better off without me.
So then basically they're outside and they're like, hey, let's go.
Lois and her boyfriend.
Let's go do a bunch of. Yeah. Let's go do something. And then there's a getaway car tearing through the street. And for whatever reason, they decide to be idiots and try to
stop it.
Because, I mean, thankfully, the car is shooting somebody, because I wouldn't have known this is a getaway car. It's just an asshole driving.
Right.
But
Lois, like, hits her heel, her shoe on a fire hydrant and sprays water all over it.
That can't happen. I don't buy that.
No, it would never happen. That's stupid. So then the guy jumps out in front of the car.
Smashes it.
And it runs into him. The car smashes, whatever. And he's like, haha, I win. She kisses him and takes a picture.
Well,
and,
I like that she's kissing him and he's like, she's probably imagining Superman right now.
I know. And then so like,
he's who,
like,
is the cuck in this story? I can't tell.
This is just the dumbest story. And so like, he's like, oh, hey, Lois, by the way, the lens cap of your stupid camera's on. And then I don't know what's going on with this guy.
So this guy has recovered enough that he is going to shoot this guy, and he coughs and he lets it go that, you know, like, so Lois gets pushed out of the way and this guy flips over the car.
But it's, oh my God, it's just over 24 hours.
But it's, no, it's not. It's not soon. It's before 24 hours.
Oh, so he didn't realize.
And he goes, oh no, it's too, he goes, oh no, it's too soon. And he's like, I'm dying. Yeah. And I just, he goes, all I wanted to do was love, was for you to love me like you love Superman.
And she's like, oh, but I do, Phil, and I'll prove it here. I finally figured out what's going on with this camera. When I take a picture, it actually takes a picture of what I'm thinking of in my brain. No. So the last couple of times I've been thinking of Superman, but look, this picture that I just took was of you.
I know you're dying, but and here, look at this
and
picture.
And he's like, oh, isn't that great? Dead. And he dies. He dies. This guy, the perfect man for Lois Lane, the one that Superman searched Metropolis for, is now dead.
Yeah.
Dead in the goddamn street.
He died like a mutt in the street.
And she's like, he's gone.
This guy's family.
He's dead.
Is.
He got sucked out a fucking window and put into Lois Lane's path, and that killed him.
That sucks.
I think this is Superman's fault. I think he was trying to kill this guy.
He probably was.
He was like, oh, you're the perfect man for Lois Lane? Fuck that. That's me. I want her to be constantly sad.
There should be a coda at the end of this where he's just like, oh, now one down and 1,500 to go or whatever. Pretty much. You know, and he's just out there just murdering everybody.
He's just taking out the competition. Because really, like, Superman loves the idea that Lois Lane, all she does is pine for him, and he gives her the cold shoulder constantly. So yep. She just sits and wastes her life waiting for him. And Superman's like, haha, great, awesome, love it. And instead, Lois Lane's just wasting her stupid life.
Yeah, pretty much.
Boo.
I also want to point, so that's the end of that story.
Yep.
I want to point out, because we never get our letters page. I didn't realize this, but why is her letters page called the Boneyard?
I don't know.
Is it because Superman killed so many people for her?
Yes. It might be a journalism term, but it's not one that I'm familiar with.
No, it's because Superman killed everybody.
I think that's why.
I think it's because.
It's because Superman just killed the perfect man for her.
Yeah, they changed it for that.
Like, literally just murdered the only man she'd ever be happy with, that she could love.
No, yeah, she fucking straight up killed
him. Good job.
Him.
I'm so glad. And that, nobody loves Superman.
And Superman, there's going to be no funeral for this guy.
No.
Nobody, like, she's not going to go to, she's not even go to his funeral. She's just going to be like, she's not going to be like, Superman, I met this guy and then he died right away.
She's not going to be sad. She's going to be like, oh no, he's dead.
Next issue is going to be the same exact thing.
It's going to be, I got to make Superman.
Terrible.
Superman low, marry me.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be.
Oh man, this awful. Is a morbid book.
It's terrible.
You know what? I was thinking, let's take another quick break.
Okay.
And we'll come back and we'll finish up the rest of these stories.
All right.
It's midnight. Hello, listeners. It's your friend, PJ Frightful. That's PJ as in podcast jockey. And I'm dropping dreadful new episodes every 2 weeks. When the clock strikes midnight, the podcasting hour shines a candle on the dark corners of DC Comics. Those supernatural sagas of Swamp Thing, Dead Man, The Spectre, and more. The podcasting hour. It's a rotating anthology series boasting the terrifying talents of Ryan Daly, Rob Kelly, Paul Hicks, Ben Avery, Doug Zavisha, and other unfortunate souls. Prepare for the unexpected, open a doorway to nightmare, and enter the houses of mystery and secrets. The moon is full, and the dark spirits are rising. For it's midnight, the podcasting hour. Coming this Halloween, part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. Beware.
All right, we're back here. Worst collection ever. Going to wrap up this Superman's Girlfriend, Lois Lane, number 132 from July 1973. Mm-hmm. Got some backups in here.
Yep.
And we have
Zatanna backup.
A Zatanna backup.
Mm-hmm.
Zatanna the Magician.
Yeah.
And The Boy Who Never Smiled. Ugh. And
stupid.
It is.
I really hate this story.
So Zatanna is in a
Children's Ward.
Children's Ward, dressed up as Zatanna is.
Yeah, really, really sexy magician lady hanging out with kids.
I mean, she's covered up top.
Sure.
But that, I mean, she's rackalicious that way.
Well, she's Zatanna.
And then she's just wearing, like, the fishnets.
Yeah.
You know.
She's wearing her outfit.
And it's just, yeah. You know.
And so she's, like, I don't know, like, making her top half float away from her bottom
which
half.
Which is creepy.
It's really creepy looking. The kids are like, man, it's great. It's great. It's awesome. Blah, blah, blah. And so she's like, I'm so glad I got to entertain these kids. And the doctor's like, wait, there's another kid. And he never smiles and he never laughs. And Zatanna, would you please try? Because he seems so depressed ever since he's been here in the hospital.
Yes.
And she's like, okay. So she goes into this room.
Well, first of all, we get to learn about what this kid. So,
oh, yeah.
The poor boy's arms are paralyzed. Can't budge them an inch.
No, that's right.
All our specialists have examined him, and all of us are stumped for a cause or a cure.
Yep.
And so keep that in mind. So keep that in mind that this boy...
His arms don't work.
His legs work.
Yeah. Everything else works.
He can kick, but just his arms cannot move up.
Yep.
Like he's...
He can't move them at all.
He can't move them at all, and he...
And no one knows why.
Nobody knows why. This is like an episode of House.
Yeah.
I feel like Dr. House should come in and just be like,
it's lupus.
It's lupus.
Fucking walk away.
He goes, lupus, walks away. You know, that's how it ends. So I also want to point out these doctors' names. I like these doctors' names because they're not even like, they feel like they're just noises.
Yeah.
Like the one doctor's name is Dr. Moores, M-O-R-Z.
Okay.
And then the other name is Dr. Dirk, D-U-R-K, Dirk. So I think it's the male. So we got, I think, Steve Dirk and Edna Moores.
Sure.
I'm going to give them first names.
Sure. Great.
So Maddie, our boy Maddie here, is he's a very bright child. Oh, by the way, he's an exceptionally bright child with a genius IQ. Uh-huh. So he knows how serious his condition is.
Okay.
As if he couldn't tell from himself that it sucks.
Oh, fucking arms don't work.
My arms don't work for some reason.
They just stopped working. There was no reason. I didn't get an accident. They just stopped working.
Yeah.
So she goes in and she sees this kid.
I'm also just looking at this picture here. He's just laying here with his arms flat out, like his palms up.
Arms. And he just looks really sad and kind of like a serial killer.
Oh,
he
it's 100%
like, a serial. He's totally like one of those kids in horror movies. He's a horror movie kid. He's like Damien.
Yeah.
Or any.
Oh yeah,
or
no.
A young Paul Ryan, if you will. He looks like a young Paul Ryan. Look at him.
You'll be great at the end of this book.
That's why Paul Ryan did all those gym shorts, because this is actually him, and he's like, my arms work.
I was gonna say at the
Let
end.
Let me prove it by picking up this weight.
Maybe at the end of this book, he's just doing like curls and everything.
With his hat on backwards. Yeah.
He's out there in a soup kitchen, you know, fucking slinging soup like nobody's watching, you know. I'm washing dishes.
What, like knocking it over so poor people can't have it?
Yeah. Ah, my arms work. I can knock over your soup.
He's like, fuck you, poor people. Runs away. Look at my arms.
I like that we fit in a Paul Ryan joke here.
I think
that. Bravo.
So Zatanna goes in the room.
So Zatanna comes in the room and his kid's like, I don't like a girl magician.
Fuck you. Yeah, see?
I'm like, kid, you know, I mean.
Calm down, kid.
I mean, shit. I mean, I'd be. I mean, he's only 9 years old, so maybe he's not.
I mean, still, he's dumb. So she's like, oh, well, okay. He's like, he says, I say you're moronic. And when, because she's like, I'll make you a bet that I can make you laugh. He's like, you're going to lose. And I don't want to ever see you again. And she's like, all right. So she takes off her hair and now she's bald.
She for some reason, she decides to take off her hair. She looks exactly like Moondragon.
Yeah.
By the way.
She's bald.
Bald ass Zatanna.
And then she grows a tree on her head.
Why? Now, why is this a joke?
I don't know. Why this would be something that would make anybody smile, because it's terrifying that you're growing a tree out of your fucking head.
Well, first of all, it's a small...
So yeah, it's like a bonsai tree. And then the next panel, it's like a full-grown fruit produce. It's an orange tree.
It's producing fruit.
Oranges. Like, I don't... They're coming... Like, how does that work? They're taking, like, nutrients out of Zatanna's body and creating oranges?
It's taking her own vitamin C.
Are they flesh oranges?
Ugh.
Like, is it, like, biting into a hand? Like, what's going on here?
Mm, oh, man. Well, what if she's connected to it? So if you eat some of the orange and she goes, you know, she has some sort of reaction to it.
What, like a bite of, like, just disappears out of her arm?
Or something. Like, it's like this movie. I remember one time I watched this softcore porno.
Sorry, we're talking about like trees and like
I'm gonna get to the
and then all of a sudden it's like, this reminds me of the time I watched porn.
It
did
does.
You watch a porn where somebody grew a tree out of their
No.
Or like, was there Bush a bush? Like, no. A real bush?
By the way, if I ever have a book, it's going to be...
Look at my hedge.
By the way, if I ever have a book, it's going to be... It reminds me about the time I watched a softcore porno. That's going to be in the book. And it's just going to be me sitting in front of a TV.
Sadly.
Sadly.
Or very could sad. It be a scrambled TV?
A scrambled TV.
Because that would really speak to your generation.
Yes. Yes. But anyways, it was about a movie about sexy witches.
Continue.
And so basically at one point one of these sexy witches like curses some fruit and which some or not curses it but like casts a spell on some fruit, so like it's connected to the pleasure of a woman, so if somebody eats that peach,
oh, wouldn't that hurt though? It's someone's biting the peach.
I don't know, I guess
you
it was
don't lick a peach, it's not a fucking lollipop.
I guess it was sexy.
Ooh, it's a Tootsie Roll, blah, blah, blah. Like, what the fuck?
It was supposed to be so sexy.
I get it. Like, you're supposed to, whatever. But.
So I'm worried that this could have been something to that situation, because yeah, it's like a psychically, it really hurts.
Maybe, really, I mean, seriously.
She should know better, because what if she's like, here, because she's literally offering this kid, who's like, hey, vitamin C, do you need it? And it's like, no.
This came out of my body.
I would just be screaming.
Well, yeah.
I'd be like, ah, no.
If somebody was like, hey, this came out of my body, do you want to eat it? The answer is no. No, thank you.
I will be pressing that nurse's button like a million
help,
times.
Help. Oh, this kid can't because his arms don't work.
Oh, he's doomed. I like it.
I would love it if she just, yeah, it's also
I like
kind
that.
Of, it's also kind of cruel that she's like handing him an orange, but he can't take it.
That's true. He can't, well, first of all, he can't hand it. First of all, he can't.
He can't even peel it.
Can't peel an orange. She'd have to peel it for him and feed it to him.
Oh, no, eat my body.
Hey, kind of like maybe it's kind of like a Christ thing. This is my body. You know?
Oh, is that what's going on?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is a.
Is this how, what's it called, transubstantiation? Is that how it works? The priest actually grows a tree. He's like, oh, here's the body of Christ. That makes church a lot more exciting.
Give me some Christ seeds.
Gross.
Grow me a
Christ tree.
Man, we've offended Paul Ryan and the Catholics this one.
We are Catholic.
I don't know. I don't care. I stand by that, really. So she's. I can't get over. I still can't get over. This is actually very disturbing. Because also, what's very disturbing is that she's doing all this, and he can't move his arms to, like, swat her away or do just to do something to defend anything. Himself.
Yeah,
kids. And she's just like, here's an orange made from my body.
Oh, well, this woman just came and grew a fucking tree on her head.
Yeah.
Is offering you body fruit.
Mm hmm.
So then the tree goes away, her hair comes back.
Well, he goes back, he's like, oh, well, you know what you did? You probably just put some Botanex on your head under your hat, and then I read about it in some magazine.
What?
Because he reads about books about plants.
And there's something that makes trees grow from people's
heads? He read about it. It was science. He read the new science botanical review. He read that somehow somebody held it up in front of his face because he can't use his arms.
Plants daily.
Plants. Plants yearly or whatever.
Whatever.
Stupid magazine.
So she's like, oh man, all right, time for act two. And so now they're like, she floods his whole fucking room. She's like, now we're in the ocean and look, here's some dolphins. And
which, again, how is this supposed to make anybody laugh?
And then, I don't know. And he's like, oh, this is dumb, you know.
No good, Zatanna. You've obviously injected some sort of hallucinatory gas in the room to make me think I'm at sea.
Sure.
Because she's got him on, like, the ocean, and she's like, oh, look, there's porpoises. And he's like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
It's not funny. He's right, it's not funny.
He's right. It is not funny. This is not something that would make me laugh.
If a comedian came in and said, hey, look, a bunch of dolphins, I'd be like,
who are you, Gallagher? Get out of here.
Are you gonna
smash some fruit?
Are you gonna smash some dolphin? Who wants to smash some dolphins? I can smash dolphins, Mark. But for her piece of the resistance,
yeah,
she decides to turn this kid into a clown.
Yeah, she turns him into a clown.
She zaps his face she turns him into a fucking Bozo the Clown. Yeah,
like the clown from It, really. It's kind of creepy.
She does with the Pennywise.
Yeah, it's Pennywise. Obviously, then he will start killing.
Yeah.
I don't blame him. I'd kill my way out of here, too. Like,
I would try to swallow my own tongue.
With Million Dollar Baby.
How did Jimi Hendrix go? Can I do that?
Dressed as a clown, swallowing his own tongue. Yeah, that sounds right.
I already choked on something. Can I? Yes. Somebody give me a sandwich. I want to go like Mama Cass. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm slapping my leg for that.
It's a leg slapping joke.
It's a bad joke.
What, too soon joke?
Yeah, I know. That's not even true. That's not even how she died.
No, that's not how she died. But that's the story.
That's the rumor.
That's not how Mama Cass died.
That was also the name of my second documentary.
Not How Mama Cass Died.
Not How Mama Cass Died, the Sean Merrick story.
So Zatanna like turns it back to normal. She's like, well, I guess you're right. I blew it. You win, kid. And so she goes to sit on this chair and the whole thing just falls apart.
Yep.
And this kid, because he is young Paul Ryan, and this is horribly cruel to do to somebody, just starts laughing. She's like, ha, you were injured. That's funny. And then, guess what?
And he starts clapping.
Not only that. He's like, I told the doctor to take the chair apart. So when you sat on it, it would fall. And it's hilarious.
So I want to understand this plan.
Yes.
So the doctors are coming around. They're like, hey. Hey, sad kid that won't move his arms for some reason. We're going to have like a magician come in. Try to make you smile. Because we want you to feel happy. He's like, you know what?
Fuck that.
He's like, that sounds stupid. Take apart that chair,
because when she tries to sit on it, she'll fall.
Loosen that chair. I want her to break her coccyx.
Yeah. She's like, you know, if you really want to make me laugh, you'll help me wound somebody.
Which, this definitely is Paul Ryan.
I told you, this is absolutely Paul Ryan. He's like, if you want to make me smile, we're going to hurt people.
It all makes sense. Wow.
It's like,
wow.
Also reduce taxes.
Also, let me give me a soup kitchen. Take me down to the soup kitchen so I can pretend to hurt people.
So then all of a sudden this kid starts clapping because he thinks it's funny. He's like, yay, you were hurt. And then he's like, oh my God, I can move my arms again. And the nurse comes in. Zatanna's like, oh my gosh, it must have been a mental thing.
Yes, it was psychosomatic.
Yeah.
It was all in his mind. And so since I fell, it made me happy.
Yeah, since I broke my coccyx.
Yeah, she's patting her ass.
Because it seriously hurts. And so the nurse comes in. She's like, oh, my gosh, Maddie. And he's like, I don't need my medication anymore. Yay.
What medication would they give him?
Like, I don't know. Whatever Obamacare would pay for.
They're giving him, like he's like, here's your stool softener.
Yeah, like, what do you give him? Like arm helper? Like, is that a thing?
Just give me some adrenaline. Oh, they give him Adrenaline X. Oh, yeah. Shit. He's going to die.
That kid's going to die.
Oh, yeah. Superman's going to make him date Lois and he's going to die.
That's how Paul Ryan went out. So she's like, oh man, Maddie, looks like laughter was the best medicine.
Whatever.
So that's that. So now we have one more backup.
Finally, we're done. Almost.
Introducing Melba.
Melba toast.
No.
I can't help but to say Melba toast.
I know. I don't know.
I've never had Melba toast. What is Melba toast?
It's those little toasts that you get in like trail mix. Those little brown toasts.
Oh, is that what those are?
Yeah, it's Melba toast.
Oh, I love Melba toast. I love those.
Yeah.
Those are delicious.
Those, you know, in Chex Mix, that little brown toast.
I wish it was just a story about this.
No, it's not. It's not. It's about a woman named Melba. She's a woman of color.
Yeah.
This is obviously the 70s, so she looks like she got a fro.
Oh, she's dressed 70s as all hell.
She is 70s. And so I'm not exactly sure what she's doing.
Okay, so what's happening is the police are having...
It's on Metropolis' Lower East Side,
yeah, so
which apparently is like a crappy neighborhood.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of cops outside.
And they're having a shootout with a guy named, I can't remember what his name is.
Willie.
And so what's happening is...
Oh, and don't forget, because she is a black lady, she has slang. So she.
Oh, she's slanging? I didn't really know so much slang.
Force won't cut any ice with Willie, Sergeant.
That's not that bad.
Yeah, it's kind of...
It could be worse.
Ice, whatever. So she's like, I'm Melba Manton, newscaster.
She's a newscaster. She's got a communications degree.
She's putting together a documentary...
Or she was.
She's interviewed Willie several times.
Yes.
He didn't murder the landlord of this building.
Apparently, he murdered the landlord. And the police are there, and he's having a. And
she's like, hey, look, it's a frame up. Let me go inside because I think somebody else is the killer.
So I want to understand.
Don't shoot this guy.
Okay, so I want to understand what happened here. So
yes.
The police got the call that.
Dead guy.
That there's a dead landlord.
Sure.
Willie. And so the police show up.
And they're like, oh, there's a guy
inside. And instead of like coming into the building, so I'm assuming as soon as this started happening, Willie saw the cops and started shooting at them.
I guess.
Because he did not, because he assumed that they were coming for him.
Sure.
And that's why they're, because they would, wouldn't they just come inside and be like, hey, Willie, you're under arrest?
Yeah, it's not a hostage situation.
I don't really feel like they explained this.
It's just, we're all of a sudden we're hearing there's cops everywhere. And she's like, let me go in and talk to him. And I'm like, no. Melba, no. They don't have body cameras, and if they do, they're turned off. Run! They're gonna shoot you!
Yes.
But no, so she
talks. He's this guy is shooting at them. Okay, so mind you, this guy Willie is shooting at them.
At the cops.
At the cops. And she's like, and the guy's like, the cop's like, yeah, well, how come he keeps trying to shoot us if he's innocent? She's like, because he's scared.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a good idea. So she's like, I can get in there, I'll just go into the sewer. Sure. And like, climb into where he's going, whatever. So then she climbs into his window. There's a whole bunch of things where she like goes in, and she's like, hey,
well, actually, first I have to point this out. There's this other cop that shows up. Another cop is, and the first cop is like, who are you? And he's like, hey, who are all these people, you know? And he's like,
very good looking cop.
Yeah, very good looking cop. Is like, he's like, I'm Phil Higgins from the Zex Precinct, and I just happen to be cruising through, and it looks like you could use some help.
I don't know how long this Melba thing went on, but I'm wondering if that's her boyfriend, like eventual love interest boyfriend.
What, this guy?
Yeah, look.
No,
look how good looking he is.
Well, it doesn't end like that.
No, but I'm just saying, like, are they setting that up in future issues?
I don't think so.
Is he the one who starts shooting?
We'll get to the end. We'll shoot. You'll see.
Why is the good looking one? Never mind.
So he's there, and this guy's like, now keep this in mind, because this character is like, she's like, he's like, I want to go in and reason with them. And she's like, no, because you're in a cop uniform, so I'm going to go in the sewer and run up.
And somehow, like,
know my
way through the sewers, and I come up behind, and I climb up the fire escape, and I roll in a window, whatever. So she's inside. She's inside. And she's like, hi, Willie. And he's like, hey, Melba. Well, what's up? Why'd you just come in my window? And she's like,
he tries to hit her with a gun. He tries to hit her with a shotgun. She just
fucking rolled in his window.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, hey, you and me got a rap. That's what she says. And then half an hour later, she comes out unarmed. And she's like, I'm coming out unarmed. And I'm like, that's not going to save you. Fucking run. But no. Guess what? Shots fired, of course. And they shoot the guy. And Willie dies. Or he gets at least wounded.
No.
Well, no, hold on. He falls down. And they're like, no, it's him. It's the hot cop.
Hot.
That's, I forgot it was him. I was like, that's
gonna be the sexy cop. I know, it's the hot cop.
It's the hot cop. She's like, go get that sexy man. And so they knock him down. And like, you're a phony. And
because the hot cop is basically another tenant that lives in this building. And he's the one that got, he actually killed the landlord. And he saw Willie. And he framed Willie. And then the cops showed up.
It's really
convoluted. And Willie started shooting at the cops.
It's really, really convoluted. And so Willie's alive because he put like a cookie sheet in his
shirt. He does a Michael Keaton Batman from that one scene.
Yeah. And so he's like, oh, I'm alive. And they're like, hey, this is great. It's okay.
I'm alive.
All is forgiven for you shooting at us cops out here.
Well, she walks away. We don't see him getting cuffed and like sent to jail.
Seriously, like, should
they should be in the same cell.
You still shot at police officers.
You were shooting at cops. There's like a million bullets flying around at the beginning of this book.
Yeah.
There's like three shots here.
They're like bouncing off things. Like they're everywhere.
I mean, he's got a shot.
He's like, just like smiling and happy at the end of the book.
It's like fucking Death Wish.
He kind of looks like Charles Bronson.
Hey.
Doesn't he?
I didn't kill that landlord.
Doesn't he kind of look like a young Charles Bronson?
You scumbag. Well, Charles Bronson is 73. This is like the first Death Wish. So he's like 100 years
old. Well, maybe they were just like, hey, let's just use a very young version of Charles.
Or we'd use David Cassidy.
Or David Cassidy. That also. Let's make him a guy who shoots at cops.
And then she just walks away and she's like, okay, well, I'm Bye. Melba and I'm off to be on the news.
You'll see me again. Probably not. Nothing ever happens with Melba.
Well, I mean, at least
her
for the.
Mel Bottoms.
Her Mel Bottoms.
Ooh, Mel Bottoms.
I nailed that one.
Ooh, up top.
We just high fived. Husband and wife high five.
Like a delayed high five. I was like, we should high five.
It was awkward because I'm high five. I don't think I high five you.
No, why would we high five each other? Sometimes some jokes require high fives.
That was a good one. That one. I nailed that one.
You did. I'm so proud. So that's it.
That's it for July. Superman. That's it for July.
July's over. Bye.
July's over. Goodbye. That's it for Superman. That's it for Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane, number 132 from July 1973. Would you read the next issue of this?
Of course I would, yes. I'd read them all until the end. Yeah, give me the Lois Lanes, please. And the romance comics and my Jimmy Olsen's, my Supermans, and my World's Finest, and all that shit.
If you had one comic to read on a desert island, would it be Lois Lane?
What, just one issue?
No, just one series.
That's a good question. I don't know if it would be Lois Lane. It might be World's Finest.
Oh, yeah.
It may be Bronze Age, Silver Age, Bronze Age, World's Finest.
Actually, World's Finest is great because if you read one comic a day...
Yeah.
That's
a lot of comics.
That's almost a year's worth of comics. It would
probably be World's Finest, yeah. That's what I would take. What would you take?
That's a good question. I don't know, actually. You know what I might do?
All your Defenders?
Yeah, Defenders is good.
Yeah.
That's 152 issues.
Yeah.
That's about a half a year. If I'm on a desert island, I can get, you know, spend like half of it reading Defenders and half of it getting in shape like Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Figuring out how to get a raft off of there.
Yeah. I'm assuming I would probably die within like the first 2 days.
Yeah. We probably. Well, maybe me too. I would just be.
I would just be, oh God.
I would just be bitten by something.
Yeah.
Bitten by something. The Sean Merrick story. That's my third autobiography.
I'm so proud. You have so many of them.
Well, I'd be like Chris Jericho. I'd just write autobiographies.
Yeah.
He has like a million autobiographies. Well,
he's
got a lot of stories.
It's like an update.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, you have to. You have to tell people what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and that would be my third one. Bitten by something. The Sean Merrick story. Third volume.
I'm so proud.
So that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Angry Hero Sean, as well as Instagram at Angry Hero Sean. And of course, my other podcast is I Could Talk Kayfabe with Joe Tadaro. You can find that on Apple Podcasts, just so you can find this show on Apple Podcasts.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com and jenstansfield.wordpress.com. I don't know why I keep plugging that because I haven't written anything on it forever. I need to get back into it, but I'm trying to write my stupid book.
Yeah, you're busy.
I'm trying to do that. That's more important.
Yeah, you're doing good.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
She's doing great, guys.
Trying.
I'm really proud of her.
Thanks.
And of course, you can email us at worstcollectionever@gmail.com and also give us a like on Facebook.
Yeah.
Worst Collection Ever.
Yeah.
And of course, also...
Apple Podcasts.
Rate, review, subscribe, tell a friend, spread the word.
Yeah.
And help us move up in the rankings.
Yeah.
If at all, let's just get us on the rankings for visual arts. Let's just get us on there.
Yeah.
Because there are other podcasts that I would like to be considered with.
Okay.
Because there's not just a comic book one. I think if there was a top 200 for comic books, we might be on there. Maybe not. Probably not. Because right now it's visual art, so it also includes like photography podcasts.
Right. There should be like, I mean, they can get that granular where they would be like, this is the comic book podcast.
They
should be big category.
Yeah.
Then you get your subcategory.
Well, they have subcategories.
Like super subcategories.
Well, they should do super subcategories, but a lot of...
Why not?
But, I don't know. Apple just doesn't, you know, they don't have that
like,
in place.
Fuck it, search. And you're like, nope.
They want you to be looking for stuff. They want you to click on things.
Spend more time.
That's what they want you to do. No, that's the point, because they want you to engage in much with the platform.
Boo.
So that they can, their metrics, and go, wow, this person clicked on all these stupid things, and this
you
makes...
You said a bunch of words I don't even like. Metrics,
metrics,
engage, platform.
I am a podcast man. That's what I do.
Yes.
On that note, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Bye.